Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal. Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter by Willie Nelson, his version of a standard. For a third and final mailbag day for me this summer.
Mailbag's up at the Daily Memphian. You can read it over there. We'll be talking about some of the things that Chris brought up in the letter, in the mailbag here in a moment. The news came that Taylor Swift's going to be releasing a new album. Did you back in the day used to wait in line for an album release? Have you ever waited in line for an album release?
I've never waited in line for much of anything if I could avoid it. So, no, I never waited. I served people waiting in line for an album release when I worked at a record store, but no, waited in line for an album release.
One of the things is when I've been away so long, I never know what you've talked about with other folks. I did see you wrote about the Jeff Buckley documentary, and I think you touched on that with Drew, although I didn't listen. Did you ever – this is more personal exploration here. Did you ever meet Jeff Buckley? Did you ever see him perform here in Memphis?
No, his time in Memphis, which was brief, overlapped with my time in Minnesota during and after college. So I don't think I was ever living in Memphis when Jeff Buckley was living in Memphis. And so, no, I mean, my primary association with Jeff Buckley was that I was doing college radio when he was first emerging or about to emerge. And, like, the promotion was very, very heavy. We probably got a dozen promo copies of his debut EP live at Shin A because they just kept, they would not stop sending them to us. So I remember sort of the record industry hype around Jeff Buckley when he first emerged. And I was in a very small way in that orbit doing college radio, but that was about it.
And then the Memphis part of this documentary, which says just like in his life, starts later, handled. I mean, it seems from reading your review that this is all a little vague. Did he have mental health issues? Did he have, like, what was his time?
I thought the movie handled it, frankly, in a little bit of a not only vague but sort of confusingly vague way, because it just sort of talks about, like, at the time he has moved to Memphis, it talks about various issues in his life in terms of, like, stress of coming up with the second record. And it even says something and just in passing about him being heavily in debt to the record label and then doesn't explore that. And it actually talks about, it uses the phrase psychotic break, like, while living in Memphis. And it talks about, you know, an estrangement from his mother while he was in Memphis. And then just, like, 5 minutes later, it just says, but he found happiness in Memphis. And then, like, he dies. I found it very... I do not think this is a great piece of filmmaking, to be honest with you. I think if you care about the subject, right, you'll see it. But to me, if I'm sort of standing outside of that and evaluating in this documentary filmmaking, I don't think it's super great.
And then the other one, oddly enough, two people have texted me. One of the films that you mentioned in your last piece on the Memphis film scene last week was Bad Shabbos. Two people have texted me and said I should go see this film. What is it?
Yeah, people seem to like it. I have not seen it, but I, you know, did a little research on what people are saying about it, and people who've seen it seem to like it. It's, you know, it's a comedy set at a Shabbat dinner And it's about, you know, families meeting each other for the first time, you know, around a marriage. And it's supposed to be good. I don't know much about it other than that.
Okay. I think it's at Ridgeway. It's at Ridgeway. If folks want to see it. All right. Onward to the mailbag. This one largely about Ja and Jaren. And I think the first question was something like, is this the year? I'm totally paraphrasing, when it's all going to come together. It's go time. They've moved on from Dez. They've got Ja and Jaren. Here we are. And you sort of say, likely no, not go time. Not go time.
Well, I think that the team is very consciously, and this stuff we'll get into more. I mean, in some ways, the answer to the first question in this week's mailbag was sort of like a rough draft of what my season preview column will be in a few months. Uh-huh. But they have chosen a path. And whether they will stay on the path or not, it's a path that comes with that has another choice inherent in it that I don't think they've fully made yet. But the idea of reshaping the roster around Ja and Jaren to make it a team with higher upside than they think it had before is not something they completed with the Desmond Bane trade. It's something that they begun that was begun with the Desmond Bane trade, and I think it won't be completed until at least next summer. So I'm not saying the team should not care about competing this season. I think, or they're incapable of competing this season. But I think whatever the best version is of this new reshaped team, it's probably not going to be this season. I hope it's soon after this season. It may be next season. But it's just not going to be this season, which doesn't mean they can't be good this season.
A lot of questions in the mailbag were related to this. But there are two, in terms of, is this the year? There's two fundamental impediments. One is, as you said, over six seasons, they have averaged 36.5 games playing together over those six series seasons, and they have one series win. So that's daunting. You've got to get good health, and then they would have to be really better together than they've ever been. But the second part of it is that the pieces around them right now, it's not even about them. It is about them, but then it's also about the pieces around them. And you look at the pieces around them who have the potential to be really significant pieces going forward. There's a lot of uncertainty. They're not. You can go through them, but yes, who's ready?
I do think this is an important evaluation season for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson as a combo, as the foundation of a contending team. That evaluation will not be determined by the outcome. It's not like, tell me the record at the end of the year and I'll tell you whether it's a positive evaluation of Ja and Jaren, or tell me how far they got in the playoffs. The evaluation will be how much you believe in them as a foundation of a contending team when the team around them is ready to do that, which hopefully will happen soon, but may not be this season, right? It's a little bit more subtle than that. It's not just that, well, Ja and Jaren were great, but I only won 46 games, and so this is not going to work. That, to me, it's not that simple. But it is important, I think, to evaluate Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson as a foundation and decide by the end of the season if the franchise still truly believes in that as a foundation.
And then looking at the parts that could, let's presume that they do work as a foundation. You need, I think the metaphor, we got into rocket metaphor.
I thought that was good.
I thought it was really good. You need a second stage rocket boost. Tell me why that applies.
Right. The idea is that, you know, this team sort of may be at a sort of a plateau and it needs something that will push it to a higher level. And the question says, are you just waiting for that likely lottery pick next summer to be that? And I say that may be the most likely thing that's going to give them the boost, but it's not the only thing. They've given themselves multiple chances at getting that boost. It could be what comes out of that lottery pick, which has a chance to be, not certainly in no way guaranteed to be, but has a not unreasonable chance to be a high pick in a very loaded draft. It could also be Cedric Howard. Like, that was an attempt to swing at that kind of player. It could still be Zach Edey if he gets healthy and he becomes what they think he's going to become. And frankly, they still have, and I get into this in a different question, they have tons, they're really well set up for trades, even if you take that 2026 pick off the table. So I think they've given themselves multiple paths to get that boost, but that boost needs to come from somewhere, even if Ja and Jaren are what they think they are.
You said it could still be Zach Edey. if he is what they think he can become. Do you think they think he can become that? Like, what do you,
the third best player yeah. on a team that makes a deep playoff run? Yeah, I think they think he can become that. You know, his skills are so unique that he can be, you know, he can be Steven Adams who scores more. You know, I think that's the ceiling. But that's not a perennial all-star necessarily, just because of, you know, those kind of players tend to be underrated when it comes right. to that kind of stuff. But it can be a guy who has that kind of impact, even if he's not, like, getting those accolades, you know?
So you need John Jarrin to be their best selves. You then need one or two of these other pieces, Zach Edey, Cedric Coward, the 2026 lottery pick. There may be two. Hell, there may be two 2026 lottery picks.
Yeah, or some miss the playoffs. That's right.
If they miss the playoffs, to come along and be the third best player on this team. In terms of Ja and Jarrin themselves, though, someone asked if they. Let's assume you get this third piece. Can they be good enough to be the first and second best pieces? Have we seen that from them, that they can be, if not championship level, deep playoff run level?
Yeah, I mean, you can read all this in the mailbag, but, you know, Ja at his peak so far has been second team All-NBA, seventh in the MVP vote. The best version of Jarrin has been flirting with All-NBA. So can you get the best version of those two guys at the same time still? Can it still be that level? And can that, you know, is that foundation good enough for a deep playoff run? The question was phrased as deep playoff run, not win a title.
Right.
And so that there's a difference between those two things. I think, yes, I think the best version of those two guys at the same time could be the two best players on a team that makes a deep playoff run. But it's sort of, you know, it's not having Jokic, you know, you have to right. sort of squint. You have to have a lot of things come together.
Yeah, it's not that different than having Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, though. Like, it is interesting that
right.
that and it's funny, even we say the Ja was the seventh MVP votes and Jarrin 17th. It doesn't even, like, we'll see the rankings when they come out. That doesn't, in fact, seem far-fetched to where they where they can be as players. It doesn't even, oh, well, that's the 1 year that they touched once. I can imagine
They're yeah. not going to be ranked like that no, and when the rankings come out, but
time.
The rankings don't matter.
Right.
I mean, what matters is what happens on the right. floor, you know?
And 7th and 17th is not unreasonable, I don't actually think, for the two of them. You know, the health, obviously, is the quintessential question. It was interesting. I didn't know. One of the, again, people can read the mailbag, but one of the people who wrote in said that Ja has won at a 58% winning percentage over his career. And that would take you to 47 or 48 wins. The problem, of course, is how many games will he play? If I gave you right now, Chris, 62, I'm giving you 62. Ja will suit up for 62 games. Will you take it?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I would take it just because there's so much more downside from that number than upside. Like, you can only add 20 more games. You could subtract more than 20.
Right.
So, and I think 62 from Ja with the rest of the roster being healthy and things coming, he can still make you a playoff team. I think the downside is more severe than the upside there.
Yeah. It's saying something, though, that you would take it. I would, too, just because you don't, you know, that's most of the season. He'll be playing most of the season.
And well, how many seasons has he had?
Where he's more than 62.
Off the top of my head, I think maybe one. I don't know if he's had more than one season where he's hit that number.
That's unbelievable. Jeffrey's looking it up now. By the way, I totally forget about Cedric Coward. He's injured, too. Like, we expect him. Right. He will be full go, though. By
he's not injured is the thing.
Not injured.
I mean, he was injured last season, and I think overly cautious, maybe they held him out of summer league, you know.
Nah, there goes Chris. I think we lost Chris. I think we'll have to say goodbye to Chris. Don't you think? I think we're winding down this segment anyway. So I think we're going to say goodbye to Chris.
I do have the answer.
Okay,
so
what's the answer?
His first season, he played 67. The COVID bubble break, he played 63. And then in 22-23, which was the Shotgun Willie's year, he played 61, started 59.
I got you. Tell Chris we're not going to call him back. And I'll do a spot here. Leaders Credit Union is, and it's nice to be able to do spots about places that you actually care, that you go to and that you like. And Leaders Credit Union is when Claire moved to town and her sons were looking for a new financial institution, it was easy for me. I just said, go to Leaders. Because my own experience with Leaders has been that they have been just, the level of service is fabulous. The level of attentiveness. I've actually looked for, we were thinking of buying a rental house, whatever, a house. And dealing with their mortgage people has just been great, unbelievably attentive. The technology is fabulous. The rates are great. It's Leaders Credit Union. They, because they're a credit union, they pour everything back into better service, better rates, better technology. They've got a, I'm old school. I like to walk into a branch. And so I went into the Bartlett location. But you can go to the one, you just download the app, honestly. There's also one in Arlington. They have a brand new location. So if you're looking for a mortgage, if you're looking for a car loan, if you're looking for a new financial institution, new checking account, whatever it is, I would advise that you check out Leaders. Leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to our man in Washington, D.C., that hellhole that is Washington, D.C. He's probably under siege as we speak. It's Fish on Friday on Tuesday. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, it's that time again, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Time for Fish on Friday on Tuesday, joined by our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman. Charles is, of course, the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. He joins me now, and I have to say, Charles, I'm a little bit, as you join me, I'm a little concerned, and I hope you're laying low, because I read from the President of the United States, and you live in D.C., and this is a direct quote. Our capital city, that's where you live, has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs, and homeless people. So I hope you're staying low, man. I hope you're staying.
He went on to say other things, didn't he?
He probably.
The whole place was a dystopian
asshole. The whole place is an asshole.
I watched yesterday. He called yesterday Liberation Day, which is kind of a little Orwellian, to be honest.
What?
I hope.
Yes.
That there is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, You just blipped out for a minute. Maybe it was the roving gangs. It's probably hard to connect to dystopia. You know, like it's a, if this, you could be killed during the course of this whole radio segment.
What's amazing is that on my end, each Tuesday, I'm able to camouflage the unbelievable violence and chaos just right outside my office. Usually that's being engineered by my dogs. No, I hope that there is soon a National Guard member, male or female, at the foot of my driveway. I would welcome. We were talking about this yesterday. In all seriousness, what happened yesterday is ridiculous and absurd, and It is pure theater. We use the public transportation in D.C. There's crime in D.C., but guess what? There's crime in Memphis. There's crime in the president's home city of New York and the president's home state of Florida. There is crime. You do need to be alert and careful. We could do better. As I said to you yesterday, we actually have some persistent neighborhood crime, and I would welcome, I don't know why we went away from this. We have 4,100 police officers in Washington, D.C. I would love it if there were three or four police officers who patrolled our neighborhood all the time that we knew the names of, who knew us, who knew what happened here, what our problems were that we saw all the time. I would actually really enjoy and appreciate neighborhood policing, and I think in some ways it would help. Taking over a city's government is not democracy. The federal government doesn't run cities. The federal government doesn't run states. That's not the kind of organization
here's the truth
we have.
That matters. There is evidently some provision whereby on a 30-day basis – the federal government can in the
I'm talking about whether you should.
No, I understand that. Can I finish my sentence? Finish my sentence?
I just want you to make a distinction.
That's fine.
That's all.
What was nice is I listened last.
We missed you last week.
I listened to the podcast last week, and I know that someone on Facebooks or somewhere contacted you and said, "Wasn't it nice that without me interrupting you, you were able to be unleashed?" And I remember
and
that
all
comment.
You thought was,
someone's got a leash, right? I gotta restore order. If Fishman was unleashed, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Anyway, the problem is that it says in the event of an emergency, and there is no sense in the world under which this is an emergency. Listen, interesting. Hold on.
In D.C. is at a 30-year low.
I was going to get to that. It actually is very reminiscent of Memphis, which is it was a huge spike during COVID and crime went wildly out of control. And then since then, it has been coming down, is my understanding, in D.C. The truth of the matter is crime in D.C. is not as significant as crime in Memphis. I looked at the stats yesterday. But there is no sense of the world, I guess, to the point. And now you can please speak that this is an emergency.
There is in no sense it's an emergency. That's the only authority he has, the authority last 30 days. It is interesting that the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, who's a Democrat, this is a completely Democratic city. It's so much safer to live here than it was in 1983. When I moved here the first time as a young Washington Post reporter, in those days, there were many neighborhoods of downtown D.C. that we as Washington Post newsroom staff were not permitted to go report in alone. If you're a reporter, you needed to be with a photographer. If you were a photographer, you needed to be with a reporter. They didn't let us go out on assignment by ourselves because of the danger. I don't really think there's any part of D.C. that I wouldn't send a 23-year-old reporter to now at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, but there's no emergency. And it is strictly the authoritarian playbook to announce that the army is going to, and the FBI, the funniest thing was that Cash Patel and Donald Trump reassigned something like 120 FBI agents over the weekend to work overnight shifts on crime control in Washington, D.C. from the FBI field office here in D.C. and the FBI field office in New York. And let's be clear, FBI agents don't know anything about ordinary street crime and managing street crime. They aren't supposed to. They're completely different professions. Police officers stop people. They stop people in vehicles all the time. They know how to approach people, think that through, keep the interaction where it should be. When the FBI goes to arrest an FBI agent pointed this out yesterday on TV, the FBI typically arrests people with 19 FBI agents. Like, they're leaving nothing to chance. They don't know how to work an individual event. And so also, you didn't join the FBI to be a street cop in DC. So the whole thing is silly. They were promoting the park police. the parts of DC that are in fact crumbling tend to be parts of DC that are in the control, not of the city, but of the National Park Service and the park police. So here's hoping it only lasts 30 days. Everybody would like there to be less crime, but not at the expense. You know who has very little crime is a place like Russia, a place like North Korea. Authoritarian states have very little crime. They do give up all their freedom in exchange for that. And so we need to be careful. I didn't even want to start here.
No, that's fine.
To the microphone.
I was so concerned about you, though, given the hellhole. We thought it was bad when Stephen A. Smith was trashing Memphis. Now calling Memphis a hellhole. Now you got the president calling D.C. a hellhole. Like, that's stepping it up, man. That is stepping it up. So, okay. Yeah, you were going to start with, it's good to be back, by the way. Thanks.
Welcome back. We did survive without you.
I thought you and Drew did a great job. I mean, you had a lot of real estate talk in the beginning, Drew's house and stuff. But after that, you got right to it.
I thought Drew's having a baby. You hadn't told me that.
Waymo. You talked about he used a Waymo. That was cool. I thought Drew did a beautiful job. And when you tried to talk politics, he was beautiful about it. He just said, "I'm sorry, I don't go there." And
I thought it was very deft. And I also, the Waymo thing was great. So, and I wanted to just revisit one. Do you remember the discussion of clanker as a term from last?
I remember clanker has to do with something about AI.
A sneering, derogatory term for the coming of the robots. Clankers, robot from Star Wars. And since we did that segment last Tuesday, like, six major media organizations have done stories on clanker. I'm going to start pointing out how far ahead of the
curve. Let me ask you this.
This segment
use clanker.
Feel good.
I didn't really understand the derogatory part about it. Use clanker in a sentence for me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm being aggressively managed by a clanker. You know, AI is causing me to have to work differently. Or there was a clanker on my block this week delivering groceries. What an irritating, slow-moving robot.
It's kind of like a wanker.
Oh my God! Only you. We made it all the way through. No, yeah.
No, but I mean, what a wanker! What a wanker! I don't actually think you think about it literally, the wanker. I think it's just
clanker's really aimed at the technology and at the impact it's going to have, like the era of robots. So I think we need to be careful. I would say it's funny because I don't really there have been tests of the delivery robots in our neighborhood from a neighborhood store. They're kind of cute, but they don't make you think, boy, I wish my, you know, I wish my deli sandwich was coming in that thing. I guess the Waymos are kind of different. I would say we can move on, but, you know, we step into elevators today and no one thinks, where's the elevator operator? How am I going to run this elevator? In fact, if there were a man or a woman in the elevator,
we make phone calls and no one's at the switchboard saying, "Hey, I wish there was a phone operator."
It's been a really long time for that, but there were still elevator operators in a lot of buildings in New York in the 70s, right? You would say, "What in the world are you talking about?" You know, I think a lot of driving 10 years from now, just 10 years from now, the elevator operators in the 50s and 60s. Elevator operator was as common a job as working at Walmart today and working at Walmart is the number one job. You know, Walmart's the largest employer in the country. And I think not every truck driving job, not every, taxi, Uber, Lyft is going to be automated. But I think 10 years from now, I would bet you that half the long haul trucks on the highways that are going point to point are automated, are autonomously driven, because there's not a lot of sophistication, at least externally, to that kind of driving. It's not city driving.
It is interesting.
Leave a
though,
warehouse.
One of the things that I was driving through Mississippi the other day, and there were a lot of signs for lawyers who were clearly advertising for truck driving accidents. If you'd been involved in a trucker had hit you, call Mama Justice.
If a trucker had hit you,
Mama Justice. So that must be a thing. And I gather that one of the real impediments to Waymo or automated truck driving is if I was driving to work today and there was an accident. If it's a human accident, we expect it. We don't say, we can't let humans drive. We can't do the system because humans run into each other. We just accept it as part of the cost of doing business.
No, that's
when
exactly
a computer
right.
does it, right. we think, oh, my God, we can't have Waymos. They ran into each other, even if they do it at a lesser rate. And I would think the same thing.
One one-hundredth the accident rate of humans. Exactly. How many people were injured riding in elevators run by where there was a human operator? I don't know, but no one's injured in elevator accidents today. Almost no one, right? And so we do have, you're right, it's very interesting. We do have different standards. That's really, in some ways, that's really good. It is forcing Google owns Waymo, and Tesla, which is doing its own self-driving system, it is forcing them to be as demanding of the software as they possibly can. There are still terrible examples, especially of Tesla self-driving killing people, but much less than per million miles, much less than human drivers. But it's going to be interesting because though being a long haul truck driver today isn't maybe the most fun job in the world, but it's independence and it's good money. And those jobs are going to fade away. It's not clear to me that self-driving trucks are going to create new jobs.
Just in the world of computers, I mean, and robots here real quick, you did send me a video of a Walmart drone dropping a package in someone's yard. Was this real? What was this?
It's kind of an amazing video. Walmart is now delivering some orders by drone in two cities, Bentonville, which is headquarters in Arkansas, and Dallas-Fort Worth. And they announced just a little while ago, I think 2 weeks ago, or maybe a little more than 2 weeks ago, that they are coming to five new cities: Atlanta, Charlotte, Houston, Orlando, and Tampa. Atlanta, Charlotte, Houston, Orlando, and Tampa, none of which include either Memphis or Washington, D.C. 100 stores in those markets. And the one I sent you is kind of amazing because the drone actually is flying, and it releases the package over the backyard of the customer, and the package parachutes into the yard. And by the time it lands, the drone is long gone back to headquarters to get another package. And it was a package of pistachios. I don't know if you watched it till the very end. Walmart is very excited about drone delivery. I actually got to spend an hour watching the control tower for Walmart drone delivery in Bentonville. And it's a little complicated and a little scary. There's power lines, there's airplanes, there's helicopters out there that are all tracked. But Walmart offers drone delivery in those first two markets from certain stores in 30 minutes. 30 minutes. You click, and 30 minutes later, it's at your door. So that's like hiring someone to go get you something if they're already at the store, literally, right?
That's kind of cool. Faster than you could literally go get it yourself, right?
Faster than you could drive to the Walmart, walk inside, walk back outside, and walk home. The most common items are things like hamburger buns that you forgot to purchase for your cookout, eggs that you forgot to purchase for something you were baking. You discover you're out of eggs. cold medicines are very common. People don't want to get up and go get themselves cold medicine. Also, pet food and two particular fruits, bananas and lemons. God, having your bananas delivered by drone, you want those well packed. At one point, Walmart said it was going to have a million drone packages delivered by this year, by 2025. They've only got 150,000. They're only delivering 1,100 packages a week. Slow developing. Amazon has drone delivery in College Station and in Tolleson, Arizona, near Phoenix, but those are suspended because of technology problems. It's coming, but it's not coming as quickly as they wanted it to.
We got some inflation numbers this morning, and it was interesting because the market seems to be going up based on them. And I've seen that the inflation is higher, but I've also gathered it's not as higher as some feared. So one can spin this however one wants. The market doesn't seem to be taking it as bad news, but inflation has, I guess, moved up partly because of the tariffs, I gather.
Well, inflation has kind of quote-unquote stabilized at about 2.7%. It's 2.7%. It was 2.7% last month compared to July a year ago. Economists there are polls of economists, literally polls of economists by some Wall Street firms and by the Wall Street Journal every month on the two big numbers, inflation and jobs. And then what the economists think is going to happen is the quote unquote expected number.
I see.
And then we have the number that actually happens from, by the way, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, a very reliable agency. And so the first thing that happens is that people compare it to what the economists thought it was going to be. How did it come out compared to expectations? And sometimes that really disappoints people. Here's the problem, to be honest. Core inflation, if you leave out food and energy, which are, frankly are core to me, misnamed. But core inflation, 3.1%, the prices of everything except food and energy, 3.1% and 2.7% are too high. That's why Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve are not lowering interest rates. There's a big difference between 2.7% inflation and 2% inflation. I would much rather have a raise of 2.7% than a raise of 2%. And so they really want to.
What's the 3.1 and what's the 2.7? Explain to me. What's
3.1 is what's called core inflation. Oh. That's the price of everything but groceries and gasoline. And the reason they calculate that is that groceries and gasoline go up and down all the time. They're very seasonal.
2.7
in the summer is expensive.
Okay.
2.7 is the overall number.
Yeah.
And it's just too high. It's just too high. So that's I would say that's what the news is. We only have, do we have time for one or two more items?
It depends how fast we go. So I didn't want the day to go by though without discussing the headline that I saw, and maybe you were also aware of it, that AOL dial-up is gone. And to me, when I saw that headline, I thought, who knew AOL dial-up was still available? Did you ever have AOL dial-up? What's happening here?
Did you have AOL dial-up?
Of course I did. I don't know how else I got on the internet back in the early days. You've got mail. Yeah, of course I had it. There's my.
Did you have a separate phone line? Did you have a separate phone line?
No, I think I just plugged in my phone line. No, I didn't have a separate phone line. I just plugged in my phone.
It was interesting. So
yeah,
this was America Online, and you had a little. You had your phone cord plugged. People even know what a phone cord is. Your phone cord plugged directly into the side of your computer. You didn't even need an adapter.
You need some floppy disk. They'd send you to install it or something. Is that
well?
What?
The floppy disk was to install the software itself. Okay. But then your computer would use the phone line to call America Online. And when they called America Online, go ahead, go over it.
Did you do this? Did you have AOL?
Of course I did.
Of course he did. Yeah. Yeah, everyone did. That's how we got online.
And then you were connected to the internet. But then no one could use the telephone in your house because you were on the line. You'd pick
That's
up the
true.
Phone, you'd pick up another
Small
expensive,
price
and you
to
could
pay.
Hear the computers talking to each other. I did not have AOL. I was more sophisticated. I had MindSpring. I had Earthlink/MindSpring.
Is that the same thing, though? Was it a call up? Was it a dial? It was the exact same thing?
It was exactly the same. It was a different company, but yes. And I was an early adopter. I had two phone lines in my house, one just for the computer and one to talk to people on. And that, but what's interesting about that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is this was 2000. The peak was 2000, which doesn't seem that long ago. Although I guess if you're 30, you were only five in 2000. But we didn't keep our computers connected to the internet all the time. We connected to the internet when we needed to do something, and then we disconnected and just used the computer. And so we weren't using, I don't even remember exactly when web browsers came into force, the late 90s and early 2000s. But in the beginning of the internet, you would connect for a specific purpose, and then you would disconnect. And it was only people who were crazy like me who had a phone line just for their computer. Yes, so AOL is terminating dial-up. AOL also used to be a corporate behemoth, and it's worth remembering how the mighty rise and then sometimes fall. AOL, the internet company, bought Time Warner, the media company that owned Time and Fortune and Sports Illustrated, and also Warner Music and Warner Pictures.
What happened to AOL and why? And
180. That sale was one of the largest in history. $182 billion. And 9 years later, the best idea was to merge them. And 9 years later, the best idea was to break them apart. And that's what they did. AOL today. Bonus question: I bet you don't know who owns AOL today. Can you tell me? Where is AOL today?
No idea.
By a hedge fund. It's owned by Apollo Asset Management. It's actually part of Yahoo. Only a few thousand people, a few thousand in the whole country, still use dial-up from AOL, and they're mostly in rural areas where there is literally no broadband service available. There's no wire to your house. And at the peak, 25 million people used it in 2000, and in 2000, that was more than 10% of the whole country. And that was, 25 million accounts was probably two or three times that number of people, because you didn't have multiple dial-up accounts in one family. It was 25 million households. So,
You want to tell me about the Reese's and the Oreos before we get out of here real quick?
No, Reese's and the Oreos is such a good story.
We're saving Reese's and Oreos.
It's a big story, and we cannot hurry it. And I think people should see if they can get something delivered by drone.
Here's the
now
thing, though, with the
and,
drone delivery, they just drop it by parachute. So doesn't it limit that number of? I mean, it couldn't come to your door. It sort of lands like the paper guy.
You need a yard or a driveway. At this point, I don't think drone delivery is going to ever work in big urban settings with apartment buildings, because it doesn't have that level
also,
of precision.
Also, it's like not a good way to get a refrigerator. You know,
The typical Walmart has 150,000 items on the shelf. 150,000 items on the shelf. 50% of them can be delivered by drone.
Charles,
so
we appreciate it.
It's not a great way of getting refrigerated. Athletic socks, my favorite item. You could get athletic socks delivered that
way. Do you do tube long up to your knees these days? What do you do? Well, I don't even know what's fashionable anymore.
What are they called? Calf. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week.
Thanks, Charles. Hey, stay safe out there.
especially
in that hellhole. All right. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks very much. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. Hey, Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jason will be joined by Jessica Benson during the first hour. Tim Murray will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Mike Sando going to join us to discuss the Athletics quarterback rankings. It is Tuesday, so Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Good to be back. And, I'll be back tomorrow. For now, work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.